Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
And let's get started.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and me, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that, but whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, you got it.
You checked your credit card bill yet this morning?
I'm good.
Unusual charges.
Nope.
Locked out. Any weird purchases? I was cringing last night. Ben and Woods here. Just after 7 o'clock on 97.3 The Fan, going until 9 this morning. You were bored last night.
Yeah, I was.
You really shouldn't be bored. You got a wife, you got a kid, you got two jobs.
Dude, my wife was watching The Friggin' Bachelor, all right? It was about, I don't know, 7. So it was before the Aztecs game came on.
Thank her for tuning into ABC for me.
Yeah, thank you, babe, for tuning into ABC for Ben. Watch that creepy show, The Bachelor. And I was bored, and I was scrolling through Twitter, and I saw one of our listeners and friends, Christine, posted a screenshot of a guy, and his name is Danvers Clifford, older gentleman, probably in his, I'd say, late 60s. And he tweets out, on his Twitter profile, it says, "I'm a sugar daddy looking for a sugar baby to spoil and help financially. Text me, here's my number, if you're interested. I pay $500 weekly allowance." Now, Christine sent out the screenshot, and I just thought to myself, well, maybe I'll just text him and just see what's going on. So I text my buddy Danvers Clifford.
First of all, did you even look at like what his Twitter account name was?
Yeah, it's Danvers11425824. But
is that not a giant red flag for you right
well,
away?
Well, no, because have you seen my dad?
How many followers?
Jerry W00094774 39. My dad's not a sugar daddy. All right, he's not a bot. So I text our dude, and I say this to him right out of the chute. I say this. Hang on. All right, so I text Danvers Clifford. "Hey, Big Daddy." He says, "Hi there. How are you doing?" I said, "I'm good. How are you doing?" "I'm doing great. Would you be interested in being my sugar baby? My name is Dan. What's yours?" I said, "Absolutely. Is it really $500 a week?" He said, "Yeah, it is." I said, "Well, what's in the job description?" He said, "Well, I'm looking for a loyal, willing, honest, and trustworthy, loyal sugar baby. Just someone to talk to and keep me company. No sex, no nudes. In return, I spoil you with weekly allowances." And I thought to myself, ah, what a sad old man. He just wants some companionship. And I said, "Oh, okay, I can do that." He said, "Oh, what's your name? Are you a college student?" I said, "My name's Steve. I'm 44. He said, "Oh, nice to meet you, Steve. What can you look like? What do you look like?" Sent him the picture. He said, "Oh." And then he didn't respond for a while. I said, "Cat got your tongue?"
Oh, my God.
So then he writes back, "Nice. You look handsome." I said, "Oh, thanks." He said, "So what made you want to be my sugar baby? Not that I mind." I said, "Well, money, mostly. You know, times are tight." He said, "Do you work?" I said, "Yeah, I do. I'm a part-time shepherd."
You can't even get full-time shepherd work?
No, part-time shepherd. He says, "Do you have a bank account or credit card bills that need to be paid off?" And that's where you realize, all right, this guy's going to want my account number. I said, "Oh, absolutely. I have a credit card debt." And he said, "Well, I would love to help you. You know, give me your account number, and I will transfer $5,000 into your account."
Right.
And that's when I just blocked his number and moved on. I like messing with these people. It's fun to me. I'm a prankster at heart, Ben. You know, when the IRS does the fake scam calls, many people just, they don't answer. or they send it straight to voicemail, whatever. I will talk to those people for 45 minutes, and I will run them. I had one guy on the line, no kidding, for about an hour, to where he said, he's like, all right, you need to go get these iTunes gift cards, because you have a warrant for arrest. We know that you're a cocaine dealer from El Paso. So you have to get these iTunes gift cards, and you have to pay your fees. And I said, well, I'll just give you my debit card. And they said, no, it's got to be through iTunes gift cards. I said, oh, okay. So I had an old one.
Sounds very reputable.
Oh, it's totally reputable. It's totally the IRS.
Yeah.
What IRS agent doesn't want iTunes gift cards, right? So I go into my drawer. I pull out an old iTunes gift card so I can see exactly how many numbers and letters. So I just start ripping off numbers and letters. I'm like, X4974X13A4DDLNO4. And then I'm like, so that, good, I should be paid up. And he's like, this card's not working, sir. And I'm like, oh, man, let me try it. Let me read it to you again. And I will keep them on the phone for like an hour.
At least in that case, you know it's a real person on the other end that you're messing with. It probably deserves.
Text Dan, see if they're calling to the show.
Everything. There's no Dan, though. We need a little,
tell me how this works.
Cyber literacy here.
All right, please tell. Please fill me in. Mm-hmm.
You have these accounts that are created at these cyber farms, likely in Russia. There's probably 100 Danvers Clifford accounts out there.
I found four of them.
He did.
There's a screenshot. There's probably an algorithm that has response, like whatever you type to them, they'll send it back. It'll always end up trying to get your credit card number at the end, you know, so they can pay off your account when what they really want to do is steal your account and charge, you know, big bucks, of course, to your credit card. But the fact that he continued to talk to you after you admitted you were a 44-year-old part-time shepherd.
Yeah, send him a selfie.
Had to at least raise a couple of red flags that you're probably not dealing with someone on the up and up.
Cat got your tongue was my favorite part of the whole thing. I sent the picture, he didn't respond. Cat got your tongue.
Can I tweet the screenshot of the one that you had
with the selfie? Yes, you can tweet that. I do love getting him on the phone, Ben, because like I said, I'll keep him on for as long as I possibly can. And then I'll do the thing at the end. I'll go like this every time I go. Hey, listen, I know what you're up to, you SOB, MF, and C. And then they'll be like, you know what? I kill you, and I F your wife, and I kill your family. And it's like they go crazy. And it's maybe my favorite thing in the whole world. I love.
You're just the opposite of every other person who sees.
I am.
Like potential spam caller come up on your phone.
Hello?
I like throw the phone across the room.
Yeah,
I don't even want it to be anywhere near me.
Bro, I answer every single. If it's a number I don't know. If it says potential spam, I'm like, hello. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
At least you don't wonder why I keep getting those calls.
I don't care. I want more.
Do not call us. Never worked anyway.
Never worked anyway. I cannot tell you how much fun it gives me. It delights me so much to get them on the phone. And then the guy, like the IRS scam is pretty gnarly because I have an arrest warrant for you from, have you been to El Paso? I'm like, yeah. I was in El Paso. I'm not a cocaine dealer. I never dealt cocaine. Well, the cops are coming for you unless you pay me this $400 in iTunes. So you're telling me a cocaine dealer can get off for $400 in iTunes gift cards? Probably have a lot of people in jail that shouldn't be then. Oh my God. I have so much fun with it. I love it.
I've been getting a bunch of these random voicemails that I don't answer those phone calls.
Normal person doesn't answer them.
There's nothing normal about me, though, when it comes to things like
this. Yeah, it's weird. But, like, if I'm not expecting a call from, you know, Boise, Idaho,
right.
I'm not going to answer this random phone number from Boise, Idaho. And I keep, like, this one was from San Francisco yesterday, and I don't.
Sounds important, Paul. You better get back to them right away.
I got four of those yesterday.
Oh, I love it so much.
I'm glad that you didn't, you're not, you know, in $10 million of debt.
But the funny part is when they ask you for numbers, is that you just give them random numbers. Just give 4XLX4. It's so much fun. Ben, try it next time. I think you'll get a big kick out of it.
Well, while you were doing that last night, Woods, I was working. As usual, at Channel 10. And I got an interesting dilemma that was presented to me earlier in the day. Antonio Gates announced his retirement from the NFL. Didn't even play last season
yeah.
for the Chargers. He was unsigned as a free agent. it was basically, okay, no one wants me anymore. It's time. I have to retire. And I was, should we do a like a story on this? Not in the sports segment, outside of the sports segment. Is Antonio Gates still a big enough name in San Diego 3 years after the Chargers left to do a story? And I really debated it in my mind. I wasn't sure. I thought, I don't know anymore. I haven't seen a lot of reaction on my Twitter feed to it. People aren't talking about it a lot, you know, at least the people that I follow. Ultimately, I decided, okay, yes, he spent 14 years playing football. I covered almost every single one of his games, and then he was gone. He played 2 years in Los Angeles for the Chargers. And I thought, okay, well, we can do it. We can at least do something on a tight end who is likely headed to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. He'll be eligible in 2023. Most people were saying future Hall of Famer Antonio Gates. He is the all-time scoring tight end leader, 116 touchdowns, more than any other tight end in history. I think he's going to get in, Woods. There was that four-game PED suspension in 2015
yeah.
that, you know, might cause a couple of voters to at least hesitate on Antonio Gates, maybe make him wait a year or two before he gets in. Wouldn't shock me if that is the case. Never won a Super Bowl ring. Obviously, he played for the Chargers his entire career. That might be held against him a little bit, but ultimately, he was a game-changing player. He helped redefine, along with Tony Gonzalez, a couple of other guys, helped redefine the position of tight end as a more offensive player. You started putting your beast on the field who could do anything. Was maybe your most super athletic player became your tight end, could block a little bit, could go out, run pass routes, could outrun a linebacker. And Antonio Gates was so unstoppable in his prime. He really was. Just his ability to use his, you know, like boxing out, rebounding, basketball skills to get open. It was nuts.
He was the greatest of all time, yeah.
And he retires as the Chargers' all-time leader in receptions and yardage and touchdowns. And I wasn't even sure. Do we even mention this anymore?
I think you mention it just like you would if somebody else retired. And obviously there are ties here to San Diego. The thing that bugged me about it is right here. While today I'm officially retiring as a Charger, I am grateful that I will still be lending my services to the Chargers organization, just now in a completely different capacity through the team's community engagement initiatives and public-facing events. We've had enough of that, I think, as San Diegans. I think many San Diegans, it's really hard for them to watch their favorite players, you know, kind of side with the guy that ripped their souls out. And that's exactly what he's doing. Make no mistake about it. And LT and, you know, other people have done it. And it just, it's one of those things where you're like, I get it. You don't want to be out of the game, but you got to understand that maybe not everybody down here is super, super excited for the next step in the next phase of your career, Antonio. And, you know, he's, by all intents and purposes, Ben, he was a really good man. A really, really good man.
He still is.
Exactly. Yeah, I meant, you know, when he was playing.
Yeah, no, it was a pleasure to deal with.
Dude, Bill Johnston wrote the tweet that Bill sent out yesterday, man, brought a tear to my eye. It really did. Longtime PR guy for the Chargers, now, you know, special executive assistant to Ron Fowler for the Padres. He wrote, honored to work with this man, great player, Hall of Fame player. But there's a distant second to the man I'll always call a friend. The caring he showed my wife was special. Ramona loved him. For that, I will always be grateful. AG, thank you. Absolutely. Absolutely. It literally brought a tear to my eye.
I wish the best for Antonio Gates again. Yeah,
you just got called an idiot on Twitter, Ben.
I did?
Yes, I never see that.
For what?
It says, Ben, you're an idiot if you think Gates might get into the Hall of Fame. He was just rated number two GOAT to Tony Gonzalez. Salty.
I said
just
he might salty. Have to wait to get into the Hall of Fame.
Because of his PED.
Yeah.
Paul, did you tweet my number out?
No, I tweeted. I had the number of the
good
Dan.
All right.
Yeah, don't call Dan.
Everyone tweet Danvers.
Well, somebody said you should block out his number. I'm like, why? It's a bot.
Yeah, it's a bot.
He has 1,700 different numbers each. Each Twitter account had a different number.
I'm helping you out. If you get a phone call from that number.
It's a server farm somewhere. It's not Dan. You can't meet Dan. Dan's probably a stock image off Google if you do a reverse search.
He did send me a picture in return. Now people are tweeting at this guy.
Is it sexy?
Oh, Dan.
No, it's his thing is like airplanes in the background.
I really wish that it was a real person that I was texting with. Maybe I could have gotten
$500 weekly for just talking to this lonely man.
I'm going to tweet the one with his picture.
Yeah, do it. Maybe you will be that lonely man offering $500 at some point.
Could be. Question for you. Would you be somebody's, I guess technically, sugar baby for $500 a week?
Now, if he doesn't mind that you're a guy, you're not a young college
and he
girl,
doesn't want pictures of my wiener.
He doesn't want nudes or anything?
I'm in!
Like, I'm like, dude, he just wants a friend. Like, I could be your friend for $500 a
I
week.
I will be your, if you're out there and you're lonely and you need a friend and you're going to pay me $500 a week, which is $2,000 a month, I'm in.
I feel like there's easier things I could do for $500.
Really?
Are there? What?
Yes,
what, Ben?
Per week?
How are you going to make an extra
What's
five?
Easier
What's
than being
easier
some
than
old
this?
Guy's friend for $500 a week?
Have you ever tried to befriend an old guy? I don't know that it's as easy as you think it's going to be. What if he pulls his pants all the way down when he's going to use the bathroom like Hammer's dad?
I mean, as long as it stays, you know, platonic and he doesn't, like, all right, just show me one, you know, just give me one pick. I'm like, nah, Danvers, no.
Just give
we
me
had
one,
an agreement.
Just give me one credit card number.
Just give me one credit
one,
card number.
One of the
number.
16. Can you just give me one?
Bro,
I'm dying.
Six.
That picture of him.
I'm dying.
Woodsy, don't do this, which apparently we've already been doing here, is coming up next. What do you have?
Oh, Penn State. Maybe you're just, you should just be done. Maybe you just should be done with football. It's not working out for you.
That's an obvious one.
My God.
Plus, we have an update on the Odell Beckham Jr. cash grab, cash free-for-all at the national championship game on Monday. That is coming up next with Ben and Woods. Right now, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan with Kelly Danick.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Why?
With Ben and Woods.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
That is outrageous.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, just a reminder, coming up in the next 30 minutes, keep listening to Ben and Woods because we're going to announce today's biggest fan. If you hear your name, you'll have 10 minutes to call us back and win today's prize package, family four-pack of tickets to SeaWorld for the Lunar New Year celebration. And if you call back in time, you'll be entered to win our grand prize, a Las Vegas road trip to see Aerosmith's new residency show at the Park MGM. Deuces are wild. Just sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. To enter, that is coming up before the top of the hour. Right now, though, three stories
to
make you
wild.
Shake your head. I will start with an update on Odell Beckham Jr. We talked about this yesterday, Woods. After LSU's win over Clemson in the national championship game, he was down on the field handing what looked to be wads of cash out to LSU players. And I said, well, I guess it's okay if it's a senior or they're leaving for the NFL, but otherwise that's a big-time NCAA violation. Just giving cash to players on the field. Well, someone in the LSU Sports Information Office deserves a raise because they have come out with the explanation today. Oh, that was fake cash.
It's genius.
That OBJ was handing out. No one's actually been able to confirm. No one's like shown pictures of fake bills or anything. But the story that LSU is going with is that for some reason, OBJ brought a whole bunch of Monopoly money with him.
Fake chicken.
Down to the field.
Fake bread.
Fake chicken.
Yeah.
To hand out to players. So it won't be a violation after all. There's just no chance. That this is OBJ.
It's funny,
He's
though.
He's not rolling with fake cash.
It's
He's
funny.
Rolling with real cash.
It's funny, though. Like, it's symbolic. I can see it. Actually, Benny, I really can. A symbolic thing. Like, hey, man, go get your money. Go get your bread. Like, you're going to the big show now here. This is symbolic. Like, You're gonna now you get your money. It kind of makes sense. It kind of makes sense. I'm not defending. I didn't care.
I think it's a good bit.
It's a great bit.
And it's
a great excuse.
It's a great explanation.
It is a great explanation. All right, so Penn State, you know, you've tried it. We've tried it for great tradition up until a while ago. And maybe the football thing at Penn State isn't working out. There is a lawsuit that's been filed, Ben, by Isaiah Humphries and his family against Penn State. Defensive back, scholarship player in 2018. He was enrolled at the school, and he claims that upperclassmen players led by some of their bigger players, Damian Barber, Micah Parsons, a lot of big-time Penn State football players, they treated the locker room like a, quote, prison. They allegedly made the incoming players their, quote, bitch, and would reportedly subject the younger athletes to sexual hazing. They even referenced disgraced Penn State coach and convicted rapist Jerry Sandusky saying to them, I'm going to Sandusky you.
my God.
I tweeted yesterday, I never thought I would live to see the day where Sandusky would become a verb, but here we are. So it wasn't just verbal either, Ben. Apparently, the players would hold younger classmen down against their will while another player would... he would present his...
Don't do this.
Close to the face of the lower classman, and I can't even read the next thing. He would simulate something. Some upperclassmen would put their on the buttocks of lowerclassmen and then do some simulation. It was really, it's gross.
Don't do this.
Just kind of really unnecessary in the locker room. I don't understand why that's happening. And then they, again, would tell them, I'm going to Sandusky you.
Well, it's a don't do this anywhere in any team locker room situation.
Anywhere, minus a locker room or a team.
To have so little...
Self-awareness?
Awareness, appreciation for what your school has gone through, what people have actually really suffered so badly to even make light of it. I get that college kids can be inappropriate sometimes, you know, and if they, you know, just to use the Sandusky as a word is probably inappropriate, but to take it to that level, how can you be so clueless? How can you be so very clueless?
I really don't know. I really don't know, and I think maybe at this point, but, you know, the tough part is we've lauded the job that James Franklin has done at Penn State. By all accounts, a really good football coach, really good man. But apparently, again, it goes back to he knew about this. He was aware. He was made aware before a lawsuit was ever filed, and they did nothing. He's literally employing the Joe Paterno method of just saying, I had an idea. Like, that's the thing. And you can't do it, especially
if this
there.
Is true. It's a lawsuit. So, you know, I don't think we have all the facts necessarily. We don't want to jump to conclusions or make presumptions.
I'm just reading
If it is true.
It's
very disturbing.
It's just so disturbing.
Very disturbing. That makes my last one pretty tame in comparison.
I really wish you would have read the one that I just read, damn it.
We didn't plan that out at all.
It's the classic mistake, though, by a head coach. In this case, Bruce Boudreau, head coach of the Minnesota Wild. Like in the NFL, you have to fill out your lineup card and have your actives and your inactives. Filled it out wrong.
Oh, no.
And ended up without a defenseman who was all suited up, ready to go. And the official said, He's not on your list.
He forgot to put him on the lineup.
Put him on the wrong lineup, had the wrong player on there, so they had to actually be a man short.
Don't do this.
In their game against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Is that a fireable offense, in your opinion? Now, did they win?
They lost 7-3.
Holy crap. Well, yeah, if we just had some defense tonight.
I mean, it's a paperwork mistake. He wrote the wrong name early, and then it got filled out. He thought he had them all in there, and he realized... He didn't later, but it was too late.
I've done it on a lineup. I forgot. Yeah. A guy said, hey, I'm going to be showing up a little late. I never put him on the roster. He showed up. He wasn't allowed to play. And he's like, cool, I'm glad I drove all the way out here for nothing. Yeah, you got to take care of biz.
So don't do this for Wednesday. We got a lot to get to. San Diego State now 18-0. Got an update on where some of the college basketball insiders are ranking them, because we had another big upset in college basketball as well yesterday. We'll talk about that with our NCAA basketball analyst. Jim Herrick Jr. is going to join us coming up next year on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We're getting close now. 97.3 The Fan wants to send you to Peoria for Padres Spring Training 2020. Go to 97.3thefansd.com/Peoria. Sign up to win a trip for four to see a Padres Spring Training game at the Peoria Sports Complex against the Rockies on Saturday, March 21st. Your prize includes a $500 Southwest Airlines gift card for travel accommodations. Good luck from San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Still have our biggest fan to read coming up here in a few minutes. Right now, though, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan with Kelly Danick. Just saw that National College basketball writer Jeff Goodman, who we had on last week, releases his top 25 multiple times a week. And after yesterday's results, San Diego State's 18th straight win, plus an upset loss, Clemson knocking off number 3 Duke, 79-72, he's got San Diego State now at number 3 in the country, behind only Baylor and Gonzaga.
Wow.
At this point.
That's big time right there, Benny. That's really big time.
Yeah, Aztecs ranked 7th, but could move up this week following that loss by Duke, or it could be like last week when Kansas lost, and I think they were number three. They dropped to six, so the Aztecs didn't actually pass them last week. But Duke is just their second loss of the season. They have two very head-scratching losses. They have the Stephen F. Austin loss at home and a road loss against a very mediocre CC team in Clemson. I mean, they're like right at 500. Otherwise, they've won every game, taken care of business, have looked like one of the best teams in the country. Just kind of goes to show you this college basketball season.
Wide open, buddy.
Very, very wide open, which is both good news for the Aztecs and makes you nervous as well. Because every team other than San Diego State and Auburn has been tripped up at some point. You just kind of keep waiting and wondering, when is it going to happen? Are the Aztecs going to get tripped up? Are they going to have a game where, I mean, last night the shots didn't fall, yet somehow they still managed to beat Fresno State. They got enough defense, you know, two-point baskets, free throws, that they were able to close out the win last night.
Yeah, are we talking to Jim Herrick?
I believe we have just got him on.
We got him on the hotline.
Yeah, let's go out to our SDCCU fan hotline, joined by our college basketball analyst as we start to gear up, look ahead. March Madness is not that far away. Jim Herrick Jr. with us here on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Coach, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, guys. Nothing better than after a great football season, roll right into college basketball season.
Exactly. Well, you know, we were just talking Clemson. We'll start with that upset. They didn't beat LSU on Monday, but they beat Duke last night, and that was got to go down as one of the bigger surprises here. Clemson not a college basketball power this season, but as we were just saying, kind of goes to show this college basketball season, really anything is pretty possible on any given night.
Oh, no question. They got to storm their floor, but it wasn't from Joe Burrow. It was from the Duke Blue Devils, and like anything else, this year's particularly more than others. I think it's anybody's game. There, I don't see one dominating team that can run the table. You know, kind of like the way, you know, LSU. Speaking of the Clemson LSU, kind of how LSU was this year and how dominant they were and how dominant their offense was. There, I think there's four or five really good teams, five or six maybe. You know, Villanova's starting to play really well. But, you know, Duke's always young, you know, kind of like Kentucky where they've always got a lot of freshmen. And you know, anytime you take your team on the road, it's hard to go into an environment, you know, like Duke always is, like, you know, back in the day UCLA was, how Kentucky is. And, you know, right now how the Aztecs are, you got your target on your back and you take young kids on the road in a hostile environment and the crowds are going crazy now because now the focus kind of shifts. You know, certainly we always thought after the NFL playoffs and after the college football season, us basketball coaches felt like, you know, the focus finally shifts on college basketball. And the students know it, and the students are back in school. So, you know, Clemson in the same week beats North Carolina at North Carolina for the first time and beats Duke at home.
Coach, you said there are four or five or five to six really good teams, no dominant teams. Are the Aztecs one of those five teams in your mind? I mean, you know, you don't usually think Mountain West. I think everyone has a right to be a little skeptical, yet they've passed every test. They have maybe one of the most quality resumes out there right now. Are they, in your mind, one of those teams that you would consider really, really good?
You know, I didn't think so at the beginning of the year, and the more I watch them, you know, I'm critical when I'm critical, and I give credit when credit is due. And you know, the first half last night showed me, like, you know, the Aztecs were dog meat last night. I mean, that's as bad as I've seen them. But I think a 1-for-9 from the three, but I'm gonna give Dutch credit here. Dutch obviously gets his work. I evaluate coaches this way. When I see a coach and I evaluate a coach on the sidelines, I'm watching his team play. Dutch obviously, like a lot of really good coaches, gets his work done in practice. When I see coaches over on the side and they're coaching their tail off and the coat comes off and the tie comes off and they yell and scream and they're sweating, I always say, well, what are you doing in practice 6 days a week if that's what you're doing during a game? And Dutch got his team settled down on the road. You know, I was kind of listening to it on the way home a little bit, and our guy says, yeah, this is an 18,000-seat arena, and I don't think there's 4,500 people here. So obviously, it wasn't and then I saw it on TV, and there seemed to be a lot more people there. But that's a tough environment to take the Aztecs in. Now, they've gone to Wyoming and won. They come down at home and in a great environment, beat Boise State. And I think they got a chance. I think they're slowly evolving and they're getting better. And that's the sign of a good team, a good coach, and a good program. If your team is getting better in January and February, you're going to take some losses. You're going to always go on the road, and it's always going to be a tough environment. But compared to the Duke team that I've seen, you know, Michigan State, who I think is really good, Auburn, who's really good, you know, Kansas, you know, has an inside game, outside game. I've watched Scott Drew's team from Baylor. I think the Aztecs, you know, right now you start playing for a 1-2-3 seed, and that's the way they're playing right now. And they're a really good team. They settled down the second half, and I'll tell you what they did. They guarded Fresno State, and that showed me that, you know, when you're struggling from the field like they were, when Malachi was struggling, when Wentzel was struggling, Dutch found them a rhythm, and that rhythm was playing defense and getting the ball inside to Wentzel. And Malachi kind of took over, and kind of the unsung hero that's keeping the glue together is Mitchell. And I really like this club. I really like this team, and they've got a chance. They've got a chance to play for a 1-2-3 seed, stay in the West. That means going to Sacramento or San Jose, I believe, and then the Sweet 16 games are at Staples Center.
We are talking to Jim Herrick Jr., our NCAA Hoops analyst here on Ben and Woods, and I'm going in a slightly different direction, and bear with me if you will. You know, the last few days have kind of been marred by cheating scandals in the game of baseball. Obviously, you followed everything that went on with the Patriots and Spygate. Is basketball infallible to things like this, Jim? I mean, I know you coached at a very high level. What would be the equivalent? Like, what could another team do? Now, you know,
we're talking in-game, not like
in-game.
Like
I'm not talking recruiting violations, like that, right? Yeah. But like an in-game thing, is basketball infallible to in-game advantage or cheating from another team, Jim?
That's a good question. I've never really dissected it that far. So much of college basketball and basketball is so fast and fast paced.
Yeah,
and fluid,
and there's plays drawn up and stuff. But a lot of times they don't go the way that they're drawn up even.
Right, and so much of basketball is letting kids play, letting them play the way they've played in pickup ball or at the park, and giving them that freedom to do what they want to do. You know, do we know each other's plays? Of course, because we scout and we see film. We don't spend a lot of time on other teams because you don't have that kind of adjustments to make. Like what I was listening to, and like I said before, I don't know anything about football, but I love watching football. And supposedly, allegedly, you know, obviously LSU goes in at halftime, makes adjustments. Well, I don't know. I, as a fan, I don't know what those adjustments are. That Clemson's rushing three guys, and so they tell Joe Burrow, look for this out, that out. That. But they made adjustments, and look what they did in the second half. College basketball in-game is so quick, and there's so many possessions, and it's so quick. You know, you get a media timeout under 16, 12, 8, and 4. And I've never experienced it. I've never had anybody go against it at six different schools, 14 years of coaching. You know, you do your best scouting, but you know, I think basketball is just a different game in game in the fact that it's so quick. There's so many possessions and it's moving so fast.
I'm trying to think what you could do. I mean, you can't repaint the 3-point line a little bit closer or something. Maybe the one thing a home team could do is a little clock manipulation, like get the clock operator
to
jigger things just a little bit. But that kind of goes on naturally a little bit, at least if you watch enough basketball. But it is a hard game to cheat, compared to baseball or football, for sure.
No doubt.
And you got three refs, and you got a guy at the scores table, and everybody's, you know, do fouls get called? You know, I know Dutch was complaining about the fouls, and they weren't getting any calls, but you're on the road. You know, and kids are going at a pace where, you know, it's, you know, you get guys that are playing hard like Malachi, you give them 4, 5, 6 minutes, and then they need a blow because they're playing so hard. And I don't know what you could do in game other than, you know, you have a sheet on each kid called tendency and deficiencies. So what's Malachi's tendencies? You know, what's he bad at? Deficiencies. And the best you can do. But most of the time, you're worried about your team.
But that's not illegal. I mean, you tell your players their tendencies. That's scouting. Yeah, you're supposed to do that. It's not really the officials in basketball that people worry about the most after Tim Donaghy, you know, and things like that, that you probably worry more about the officials than players or coaches trying to cheat during a game.
Oh yeah, I could see that. I don't really have a big soft spot in my heart for the Stripe guys, but because I know them all, one of them is my best friend in the Pac-10, Darren White, and I give them grief, but we all know each other and we all know them. And you know, Mike Sy played baseball. Mike Cypress is still coach, reffing in the Pac-10, and I see them game those guys. The same guys I was playing when I was playing at Pepperdine in the 80s. Those guys are still reffing. So, you know, I don't know. You know, if they can throw a game, you know, I guess. You know, I think that would take place. I don't know, maybe something before the game, like if you know, if someone were to shave a point or whatever on, you know, the betting that's
down. Oh, yeah,
deal,
of course. Yeah.
Tighten or loosen the rims on one end of the court. I'm trying to think of what you can do.
Yeah, you couldn't deflate the ball.
Yeah, you don't want to deflate the ball.
You couldn't do that.
That's the worst when you're trying to play basketball and the ball's a little underinflated, like trying to play pickup. It is the worst.
I'm done.
You always had that in high school where there weren't enough balls and the balls were really slippery and old because, you know, back in the 70s when I was playing, and you're like, that's the ball we're playing with? Like, oh, man.
No grip.
Before you go, Coach, we're talking to Jim Herrick Jr. here on Ben and Woods. Saw the piece in the LA Times over the weekend on your dad. Still coaching at Cal State Northridge, assistant staying in basketball, but that rift with UCLA that has never kind of fully been mended. And we were just saying the other thing, time heals all wounds. How come time hasn't healed all wounds in this case? What is the story there, Coach?
Well, how much time do we have? over a lot of beers and a lot of wings in a couple games. I think it goes back to the 70s with Pete Dallas and Coach. There was... when he was an assistant there for Gary Cunningham and Pete Dallas was the interim real director. And, you know, I honestly believe being in it and being really, really close to it and as close as I am with my father, there was never any acceptance of Jim Herrick. And as Jim Herrick's, you know, it goes both ways though. As Jim Herrick's ego grew, it became steel on steel. And, you know, to Jim Herrick being Pete Dallas's sixth choice when it started, to, you know, rising to the success. You know, I heard a lot of whispers through the years that Dallas was trying to get rid of him before they got really good. And you know, you can dislike each other, but there's a respect level that I think that, you know, everybody can tell me, you know, Terry Donahue and all these people tell me what a great guy Pete Dallas is. Well, I knew Pete Dallas, and he wasn't a great guy. And it was a thing where there was an animosity kind of between the two. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we all have bosses, and he was your boss. And I could tell you story after story after story. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think they were going to try to move him out or move him on. And, you know, he and I had long conversations about, you know, maybe you need to move on. And it was his dream job. You know, he was the John Wooden disciple. I spent my summers at John Wooden's basketball camp. He was the main counselor at Cal Lutheran for John Wooden. He built his program at Morningside High School around John Wooden. And John Wooden helped him get the job in 77 under Gary Cunningham from Utah State. And it was just an affair and a love and his dream job. And to take it to the height that he had it, and they were going to be really good for a really long time. And I'll be honest with you, and I think the administration knew that. I mean, Stanford doesn't make the run with the Collins twins, Casey Jacobson, and that run. I don't think Arizona makes the run that they run. I honestly believe in my heart, if he were still there today and coaching now still, they would have four or five national championships under their belt. And I think that Dallas knew that and saw how good they were getting for a long time. And, I could go on and on, but unfortunately, with all the guys and the friendships and I played for him, I coached with him. I can think of one or two players maybe that disliked Jim Herrick playing for him because he's a player's coach. You know, the brass at UCLA, you know, it's a different deal. You can ask, I've talked to Neuheisel about it. They feel like you should be lucky to be coaching there. And, you know, I don't know if that puts them where they're at right now, and they've lost a lot. But I don't know much, but I know this: they were going to be good for a really long time, kind of like the run Duke's been on with Krzyzewski, I think. my opinion.
Interesting, Coach. Really interesting. As always, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. We'll chat with you again probably next week. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Jim Herrick Jr. And yeah, I mean, a lot of coaches have come and gone since John Wooden at UCLA.
Yeah,
good
man.
Coaches. You know, you have Ben Howland. Now you got Mick Cronin. Steve Alford just left. The one that I think of with the most success is Jim Herrick and the title run that they made. But can you imagine, like, Steve Fisher not being able to come back and, like, watch a game at San Diego State? It's insane.
It's wild.
That's what it is at UCLA. He's like persona non grata. That
sucks.
At UCLA, where he led them to the title.
I've been persona non grata
before.
You never really have you?
I have not.
Persona non grata is not fun to be, by the way.
I would imagine not.
It's not great. You got to kind of look over your shoulder everywhere you go sometimes, but hey, listen. Comes with the territory, being a smartass.
All right, the persona, I guess, pro grata is our biggest fan of the day, and it is time to announce that. If you hear your name, you're going to have 10 minutes to call us back and win a family four-pack of tickets to SeaWorld, plus be entered into our grand prize drawing of our Las Vegas round trip to see Aerosmith's new residency show at the Park MGM. Deuces are wild. Here we go. Anthony Tonkin, you are the biggest fan. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Call now in the next 10 minutes. If Anthony doesn't call back, though, we open up the prize for everyone else. Put it back in the hopper, as we say, and we'll give it out in our 8 o'clock hour. So keep listening. You may still have a chance to win. Quickly, by the way, thanks to Coach Herrick appearing on our SDCCU fan hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU4U or visit SDCCU.com. One more hour to go, Woods, and we're going to get back to the baseball scandal here in our 8 o'clock hour. Paul has pulled the audio of maybe the strongest reaction yet in media from our friend Mad Dog, who we met at the baseball winter meetings. Our new buddy, Mad Dog, really tied it all in the way you probably would, except at a much louder volume.
Yeah.
And with a stronger New York accent.
Well, I felt very kind of vindicated when I heard Mad Dog's rant, because it's the rant I've been making about the Astros for the last year. And I think he really nails it.
And I don't rant. I'm not a ranter. I might do a mini rant coming up here
Chargers rants.
Okay, yeah.
We've heard some Chargers rants.
You have heard some Chargers rants. But other than that, I tend to be more of a calm, rational, reactionary person. It's sports. Let's put this in perspective.
Correct.
Let's not lose our minds over this. That tends to be my normal reaction. And I think initially it was. As I've thought about it the last couple of days, though, I've started to get more and more mad about the baseball scandal.
We will
get into that coming up next. 1 hour to go. Glad to have you with us on a Wednesday morning. Got the whole crew here. Ben Woods, Hammer Paul. It is San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.